Please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark 11 from verse 20. Thank you, Craig, for the honor that I have to speak. It's always a privilege to speak in this church. Please remind me at some stage, I must tell you about my brother about last week. Mark 11 verse 20, and as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, I don't know how many of you has got a problem with dying to your own self, but I've got huge problems with that. And when I was preparing for the scripture for this morning, I've never understood this passage. Never. Where Peter says to Jesus, the fig tree is withering, and then Jesus says, have faith. And I've never understood it, and I read some commentaries on it, and I asked God, God, won't you reveal this scripture to me? And I believe God has revealed it to me, and I believe this is going to be a blessing to you. Because one of the biggest problems we have in our relationships with people is that it's difficult for us to not want our own will to be enforced on people. Isn't that so? Have you ever said, I want to give somebody a piece of my mind? Have you ever said that? I have given so many people so many pieces of my mind that I don't know whether I've still got a mind left. But it's something that we all battle with because, you know, what is right is right. You said that? You know, what is right is right. And I just realized that when Jesus cursed the fig tree, I said, Lord, what is this fig tree? What is it about? Why is it withering? And I realized that in my own life, my life, which is supposed to be a tree of righteousness because God is in me, is withering because of the fact that I battle with my own self and I battle to deal with bitterness and unforgiveness which is in my life. And instead of a tree bearing fruit, which Psalm 1 says, we shall be like a tree planted by the waters that will bear fruit, we don't have fruit, we wither. Instead of having the tree of life in us, which is God, we don't have the tree of life in us. We've got this withering tree in us, and what causes it? Why does God immediately after Peter says, the fig tree is withering, why does God say you must have faith? How do you bring the two together? How do you bring the two together, the withering and having faith in the same breath? And as I was preparing, God said to me, you know what? He says, I want you to have fruit. I don't want you to bear terrible fruit. I want you to be sweet figs. I want you to be a sweet fig. In Ezekiel, you'll see there's an example in Ezekiel about sweet figs and bad figs. But God wants us to be sweet figs. And one of the problems that we have, if we carry on, it says here, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, and I realized, what is this mountain? This mountain is something which is impossible. That is what the mountain is. It's something which is impossible. And I want to tell you, something which is impossible in our lives is to be the least and to forgive people who has done us wrong. That's one of the mountains in our lives. And my message today, if you want to title it, is the mountain, removing the mountain of bitterness which leads to unforgiveness. So that you can be a tree that is not withering, but that you can be a tree which bears fruit. One of the worst things in our lives is that when people wrong us, we get cross. Isn't that so? I know it hasn't happened to you. And especially in a church context, it never happens. Never, never happens. I have never caused anybody pain in this church. Ha ha. We are constantly, constantly being bombarded by things which are being done to us by other people against us, which we don't ask for. Isn't that so? It's quite interesting. We're not happy as people to be who God created us to be. White people wants to be black. Black people wants to be white. You know, white people goes to sunbeds because they want to tan. White people put cream on their face. Black people because they want to be white. Why is that? Because we are not happy with who we are. Isn't that so? We are not happy with who we are. You see, fat people want to be thin. Thin people want to be fat. In the Zulu culture, if you're fat, it's a sign that it's going well with you. That's true. In the white culture, if you're fat, you've got a cholesterol problem. But we've got this mountain of impossibilities, of something which is impossible in our lives, which we cannot deal with on our own. And for years and years, things are being pumped into our lives. I'll never forget it. A teacher said to me that you're a washout. You will never become anything. You know what? How long it took me to deal with that. And out of that bitterness, I decided, I will show you. I will become something. He's still a teacher. I'm an acting judge. Ha ha. But the point that I want to make is God says, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will happen. If we do not deal with the mountain of bitterness, if we do not deal with the mountain of unforgiveness, we will not be able to enjoy what God wants us to have. And God's and that teacher, Mr. Andre Ferreira, let me tell you about him. He was short like this. In standard 6, I used to look at him like this. That was in standard 6 already. And I had such a problem with that teacher. I hated him for years. I hated him because he used to cane me for nothing. Sometimes it was justified. That wasn't so bad. But the other times, you children don't know, we used to be caned like you cannot believe. 6 of the best. In fact, what we did is, in a boys' school, we used to make a piece of rubber out of a tire and make little holes in it and put it behind our back. So then it's not so hard. We didn't feel it. But you guys don't know about that. But I used to hate this guy. He did something to me which was wrong. Maybe there are many of you that are sitting here this morning that has this mountain of bitterness in you because of what people has done to you, which were wrong. One of the biggest atrocities that we are part with in South Africa is apartheid, which was wrong. And if you listen to the politicians, even today, you just see the bitterness coming out of their mouths the whole time. Doesn't matter whether you're a white politician or whether you're a black politician, the bitterness just spills out of their mouth. And that's why Jesus says, he says, what the heart is full of, the mouth will rule. So we've got these things in our lives, and we cannot start operating. And Jesus says to them, forgive so that I can forgive you your trespasses. Forgive. Now, if we read this scripture without the cross, it means our forgiveness for our sins is conditional to forgiving other people. We've got to realize that this scripture has to be read in context with the cross. Our forgiveness of sins are never conditional. But you know what? If you've got this mountain of bitterness, you will not be able to understand God's forgiveness in your life, in your daily walk with Him. You will not be able to live the way He wants you to live. And one thing about forgiveness, which people battle with, is they think that if you have to take this mountain of unforgiveness and bitterness out of your heart, you are condoning what the other person did to you. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not condoning the conduct of the other person. For those of you that are making notes, that's not forgiveness. Because that's cheap grace. God hates sin, but He loves the sinner. God hates what is done to us by other people, but He loves the person. So if you understand forgiveness, it means you're not saying that what you did was the right thing. What you are saying, you're saying, listen, God, I'm handing this person over to you. I'm handing him over to you. Secondly, forgiveness does not mean trust. I want to say it again. Forgiveness does not mean trust. It does not mean if you have done something to somebody else and you have broken that person's trust and the other person has forgiven you, that person will necessarily trust you. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. And if you are sitting here this morning, for instance, and you have been unfaithful to your wife and your wife has forgiven you, that is trust which is earned. It's a daily thing. And if you are guilty of that, it's something that you work on day after day after day, because you have to earn the trust of the person that you've hurt. Thirdly, forgiveness does not mean that you're doing the other person a favor, that you're forgiving. I'm going to say it again. Forgiveness does not mean that you're doing the other person a favor. Forgiveness means that you're doing yourself a favor. Because you know what unforgiveness is? You drink the poison the whole time of bitterness. You drink the poison and you think the other guy is going to die. That's what happens to you. You drink the poison the whole time, the bitterness, the anger, and you think while you're drinking it, the other guy's going to die. If he took your wife, he's having lovely time with your wife. He's not even thinking about you. But it's so easy and it's so natural for us to say, your day will come. You know, every dog has its day, but he will have a whole holiday. And we operate with this mountain of unforgiveness and bitterness in our lives. Thirdly, forgiveness is not easy. Especially if it's something close to you or somebody close to you. I can only speak out of my own situation. My daughter disappointed me a couple of years ago, like you cannot believe. And I was cross. I was so cross. And she came one night. She came and she had water. Because it's something that we do in our house. And she said, Dad, Mom, I want to wash your feet. And I want to ask you forgiveness for what I've done. But I'm cross. I'm so cross. While she's washing my feet, I'm so cross. And she says to me, Dad, have you forgiven me? And I said, yes. But inside, this mountain of bitterness was not thrown into the sea. And it remained with me. 6 months later, it was about 6 months, she comes to me. She says to me, Dad, there's something wrong between you and I. I said, what? She said, Dad, you have not forgiven me. And I had to admit to her, and I had to say to her, Amor, I lied to you 6 months ago. Please forgive me for lying. Please forgive me for being bitter towards you. Because that which she did, I did at Varsity. The very same thing I did 30 years earlier. But when you're a father, you forget those things. You know? Forget those things. And I could say to her now, forgive me for having bitterness towards you. And that changed.
You see, forgiveness is not for the other person. It's for you. It's for your healing. It's for you and for no one else. And when Jesus talks here, when he says, if you pray, go and forgive somebody, what does he mean? He says he wants you to be free. He wants you to be clean. He wants you to have what he wants you to have for this day. Maybe there are some of you sitting here that are so cross with your father who said something to you. Perhaps you didn't even have a father. Kobus Visser, you know Kobus Visser, he's a big rugby player. He's even fatter than me. You know, I mean, he's huge. So in the Zulu culture, he's really thriving. He was on television some months ago, and they said to him, Kobus, when you were at school, what did you want to become? He said, I wanted to become a vet, but I had a teacher in my school in Standard 3. That teacher said to me, you stupid, you can't do maths, you will never become a vet. And he's this guy who's got so much money, it still bugs him now. He's about 40 now. It still bugs him what the teacher said to him. In Standard 3, do you see the root of bitterness which the Bible talks about? And I see in our country at the moment, I try not to read the newspaper because what happens to me, the bitterness just comes into me the whole time. Because if you open it, somebody is stealing something from someone. If it's not cars of millions of rands, then it's houses of millions of rands. Then it's bank accounts of hotel accounts of 200,000-300,000 rand. And what does it do? Bitterness comes into our minds and this becomes a huge mountain in us. Do you agree with that, what I'm saying? And I thought that I've dealt with this thing of racism. And I want to tell you, it's something that I've got to deal with daily in my life. And I want to say to you, every one of you that are sitting here, I'm telling you, for you it's exactly the same. Because every time we read the newspaper, we drink the poison. And God is saying to us this morning that He wants us to take the root of bitterness out of our lives. Perhaps you're sitting here and a teacher says to you, you're not good enough. And every day you come into that teacher's class or that lecturer's class, and what happens to you? Every day you get crosser and crosser and crosser with that person. It reminds me of the joke of the guy who stopped at the long side of the road and he didn't have a jack. And he saw a farmhouse in the distance. So he decided he will walk to the farmhouse and go and get the jack and ask the farmer if he's got a jack. And as he was walking, the bitterness in his life started welling up. This farmer, he wouldn't like me. I don't think he'll give me a jack. He'll think that I'm a criminal. And as he's walking, this whole thing, this whole mountain is building up in his body. And when the farmer opens the door, he says to him, you can keep your jack. That's what bitterness does to us. And you know what? I don't know whether you've got it, but I get on well with some people far easier than with others. Isn't it so? There's some people that I like much easier than other people. But you know what? I found that the people that I don't like is actually the best for me in my relationship with God. News for you. Because those people start working in your life through God, and it starts making you, it starts helping you to remove the bitterness. Because you build up this thing. Are you listening? You build up. And God says to us, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? Why does God say, let's go to Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12. Are you with me? Romans 12 says this, verse 8, it says this. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Verse 14 says this. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Now, I know for you, perhaps, it's very easy. For me, I battle with that, okay? If there are people that make us cross or anything, Annalena's got this thing, and I want to say something bad about that person, she would start singing, "Love, love changes everything." Because it's our nature to try and overcome evil with evil. Let's carry on. He says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves." It's so nice to avenge yourself, isn't it? Hey? It's so lekker to pick up the phone. How many letters have you written? I've written many letters, man. It's so lekker. So lucky to give people a piece of your mind. And you know what? After you've given that person a piece of your mind, you know who's actually the stupid guy in this situation? You are. You are. And the Word of God says, yeah, it says, repay no evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. "To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." The Word says in Romans, he says, we've got to become slaves of righteousness. And I will deal with, now I'll give you what I believe, how we deal with this. But let's just go to Colossians 3 quickly. It says this, Colossians 3 verse 13 says this, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." Please turn with me to Proverbs. What does Proverbs say about forgiveness? Proverbs 17 says this, Proverbs 17 says, verse 9 says this, now let's go to Proverbs 10 first, sorry. Let's go to Proverbs 10. And it's interesting, Solomon says quite a bit about forgiveness. You know, having 600 wives, I can imagine you. Proverbs 10 says this, verse 12, he says, "Hatred," listen to what he says here, "hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found." It's an amazing scripture. Let's go to Proverbs 11. Verse 12 says this, "Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent." Let's go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says this, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Let's go to Proverbs 17. Brothers and sisters, why do I give you these scriptures? I give you these scriptures so that you can go and ponder about it, because this is a thing, unforgiveness and bitterness is a thing which we have in our lives every single day. Proverbs 17 says this, verse 9, "Whoever covers an offense," listen to this, "seeks love. But he who repeats a matter, separate close friends." Yes, I tell you, I've made so many mistakes, even in this church, with trying to repeat things. And God had to show me, stop now. Stop repeating things, because it separates close friends. Let's go to Proverbs 17, verse 13. He says, "If anyone returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house." Brothers and sisters, this is the Word of God which is being brought here. Nothing else. Please go with me to Luke. Are you still with me? Is this mountain of bitterness, are we dealing with it?
Luke 6 verse 27 says this.
You know, I want to say to you something that even it happens in a church situation that even when somebody preaches, even when I'm preaching now, you might find, what is this guy saying?
You don't have to answer it, please.
But what does it mean? It's bitterness. It's this mountain of bitterness which comes up. And God is saying to us as an assembly, we are now going to deal with it. And the best way we deal with it is to stay here and to deal with yourself. Because I don't know whether you like it, but I always want to change the other people. I know you don't want to, but I always want to change other people. You know what? God is saying to me, Avril, I want you to change.
Luke 6 verse 27 says this. It says, but I say to you, yeah, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Verse 12. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you?
It's so easy to love people that we like. Isn't it so? I know you don't have that problem, but it's easy for me to love somebody that I like. It's difficult for me to love somebody that I don't like.
I can see you don't have that problem, but I'll tell you, I've got that problem.
He says this, he says, if you do good to those who do good, verse 33, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do good, and expect nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. So other people do things to ourselves, but you know what? There is also a situation that we make mistakes, and we battle to forgive ourselves for the mistakes that we have made. And it's very difficult to forgive yourself if you've hurt somebody close to you. And I battled with this because I hurt my wife. And God says to us this morning, you know what? The hurt which you've caused is wrong. But the love which I show to you is. And that's why He talks about the withering tree. And how do we deal with this? How do we forgive ourselves? How do we forgive ourselves? We've got to realize we can only do it because of the cross. And this is what God reveals to me in this scripture in Mark 11. He says to us, I want you not to wither away as a fig tree. Why? Because you have got the branch of righteousness living inside of you. I want to say to you as you're standing here, as we're sitting here, I want to say to you this morning that if you want to forgive, and if you want to forgive yourself, it is time that you say, Lord Jesus. Ezekiel 23 verse 5 says this. He says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land in his days of Judah. That righteous branch is Jesus on the cross. That righteous branch is the branch which is planted by the tree, by the river which shall bear its fruits. That righteous branch is the branch which is talked about in Genesis 2 as the tree of life. And we can forgive others because we've got the tree of life within us. And then we go to Revelation 22, and we see this whole thing of the tree of giving fruit. Revelation 22 says this, verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life. The tree of life. And that is why when Peter says to Jesus, look at the fig tree, it's cursed. Jesus says to him, believe. What must you believe? You must believe. If there's something impossible in your life, you can tell that mountain, it will fall into the sea. And you know what? You must forgive because I have forgiven you. If you understand that the branch of righteousness is inside you, that if you understand that is inside you, you can forgive. Isn't that amazing? because of God's grace. You see, you cannot understand forgiveness if you do not understand grace. You cannot forgive if you do not understand grace. If you do not realize that that person who hurt you, when God looks at him, he looks at him in exactly the same way as he looked as he looks at the person who was hurt. And that makes you realize, oh Lord, how gracious you are. That makes you realize how gracious you are. And if you understand what was done on the cross, when Jesus says it is finished, he says the debt has been paid. The Greek word for forgiveness is a financial term, which means the debt is canceled. Because he canceled our debts, we can cancel everybody else's debts, and we can start living in the tree of righteousness because of his grace, and we can move on, and we can enjoy what he wants us to enjoy, and we can say to this mountain, mountain, go, and it will be cast in the sea because we believe in Jesus Christ. And I hope you understand that this morning. And I hope I understand that this morning. Because we can only do that. We can only stand if we want to pray. We can only forgive because he has forgiven. You know what? Somebody once said, hurt people, but we want to change. Do you want to change? Do you want to walk in his grace? Do you want to experience his grace and living in forgiveness? Let's go to Hebrews 12 quickly. I will. Let's go to Hebrews 12 quickly. It says this, Hebrews 12 verse 15, he says this, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Do you understand? If you do not understand the grace of God, you will have the root of bitterness, and it will defile many. And the easiest thing in a church is a rebel sukapel. It's the easiest thing. And if you've got bitterness towards the eldership, it's the best thing to go to somebody else and say, what do you think? Because a rebel, it's easy to get somebody there. But God says to us, gone are the days that we do that. Because we have got the branch of righteousness right within us. We are sanctified on the cross. And we can forgive because of the fact that he's forgiven us. I want to say to you this morning, Mark 11, it says this. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. This mountain of bitterness and unforgiveness can only be thrown into the sea if we understand God's grace. We can only be a fig tree not withering. Can I just read to you Joel 2? Let's just go to Joel 2 quickly. It says this. Listen what Joel 2 says. It says this. Joel 2 verse 22 says this. Fear not, you beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine give their full yield. That's why, Peter, don't show me the tree that is cursed. I want to show you, believe, and that tree will have fruit. Don't show me the fig tree that is cursed. I want to show you that if you believe, the fruit will start spreading from your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says in Isaiah, he will take the mountains and he will flatten it. That's why he says the impossibility of the mountain being cast into the sea of unforgiveness and bitterness, God will deal with it now. And I want to close. So it's other people that we've got to forgive ourselves. But there's also, sometimes we've got bitterness towards God. God, why do you let these things happen to me? God, if you are a God of love, why does this happen to me? Have you asked it? So you don't care, God. You're not interested. But you know why? Because we've got the wrong perception of who God is. We stand at a grave and the minister will say, God has taken this little, and somebody's child has died. The minister will say, God has taken this flower. He's plucked this flower early to put it in heaven. Do you want to tell me that there are not enough flowers in heaven? And we often think that God brings these things over us so that we can get closer to Him. It's Jesus. We don't need Jesus plus things that happens to us. And because of that theology, we start blaming God and we're bitter towards God. God, why don't you give me a job? Why don't you give me a husband? Why don't you give me this? Why don't you give me that? And we start getting bitter to who God is. And this morning, God, perhaps you've lost a baby. And you blame God because you've lost the baby. Because perhaps you can't fall pregnant and you've got bitterness towards God because you can't fall pregnant. It's time that we understand that God is for us and not against us. It's time that we understand that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean? There is no. Where is that? There at the mercy seat of Jesus. There is no condemnation. And if we take this, and if we realize the grace of God is within us, we can start forgiving. We can say to this mountain, leave, and the mountain will go into the sea. Hallelujah. I want to say to you this morning, this word was more for me than for any one of you. And if you want to say, God, I want to this morning, for once and for all, oh Lord, I want to deal with this mountain. I want to believe. I want to deal with this mountain of bitterness in my life. Why don't you stand up now and say, God, I want to do that. Who's that, dear? Who's there this morning? Say, Lord, I want to deal with that this morning once and for all. Once and for all, I want to deal with it. And if you say to me, Avril, how do I forgive people? How do I do it? You know what is the best way of doing it? Is go home and put a chair in front of you and you go and sit on this chair and you think that other person who has done you harm is sitting on the opposite side of that chair and you say to that person, you know what? I forgive you. Forgive me for having bitterness towards you. I forgive you. God has set you free. God has set me free. And you walk away because trust is not necessary. Forgiveness is not always reconciliation. It's not always reconciliation. Sometimes it is. On other occasions, it's not. Hallelujah. I believe there are people here that are so bitter towards God, and you don't understand God's heart. You don't understand God's love. God says to you, this morning He wants to touch you. And I don't want anybody to pray for you, actually. I want you to step forward, because in Micah it says, I will step out of this. I will stand up. And I want you to come to the front as a sign, and I want you to speak to God. And I want you to say to God, God, I am now finishing what I have been busy with. There we are. I want you to start speaking to God. The Word of God says death and life is in the tongue. The Word of God says we will have faith by the hearing of the Word. Do you know what? Jesus, the branch of righteousness is in each one of you as you are standing here. And I want you to start speaking to God audibly so that He can hear and say, God, I can forgive because You have forgiven. I can, oh Lord Jesus, take away the bitterness because I understand Your grace and Your grace alone. Won't you start speaking to God? I want to hear you, okay? If you speak to your wife, you don't whisper, you speak to her. I want you to speak to God this evening. If you speak to your friend, you speak loudly. Speak to the friend of all friends and the God of all gods. Giving is not easy. And I want to say to you, forgiveness is not a feeling. My wife has just drawn my attention to it. You don't wake up one morning and say, this morning I am in the mood for forgiveness. You don't. It's a choice that you make. It's a choice there where you stand. Come on, guys, let's speak to God. Let's sing. God is here. He's here. He wants to meet you individually where you are standing right now. Hallelujah.